Jeremiah 32, verse 41, God says, "Yes, I will rejoice over them to do them good, and I will assuredly plant them in this land with all my heart and with all my soul. For thus says the Lord, just as I have brought all this great calamity," his judgment, we already talked about that, "this great calamity on the people, so I will bring on them all the good that I have promised them. And fields will be bought in this land of which you say it is desolate without man or beast. It has been given into the hand of the Chaldeans. Men will buy fields for money, sign deeds and seal them, and take witnesses in the land of Benjamin, in the places around Jerusalem, in the cities of Judea, in the cities of the mountains, in the cities of the lowland, and in the cities of the south, for I will cause their captives to return, says the Lord." Twice in two different scriptures, God says, once they will buy, and fields will be bought, and verse 44 it says, men will buy fields for money. The Jewish National Fund was started by Theodore Herzl, and I'm 100% sure in my heart that it was started by the unction of God. And they raised the funds and they did exactly what God said. You will buy these fields. Amen? I believe that America's destiny is intertwined with the nation of Israel. And I hope to bring that out in this teaching, but I hope to also bring out the fact that there are factions in America today that want to bring America down. And it's time that we learned our history. Tonight, I want to look at the untold story of the Pilgrims, because the Pilgrims battled some things that most people don't know. I was talking to a young man today who was homeschooled, and I was telling him some of this that's in this lesson. And he said, "Oh yeah, I know that." And he told me some other stuff. And I said, "You know what? You know that because you were homeschooled. You had a Christian education. So you're well grounded in the truth." I said, "But many of our people, adults and children, they're not grounded in the history of America. A matter of fact, our college campuses are teaching this socialism and this that capitalism is bad and the corporations are bad." But just let me ask you something. How many poor people start businesses and provide jobs? Okay? So we'll see that the Pilgrims, once they started using the free enterprise system of the biblical text, they began to flourish. But it was a struggle up till then. So let's go to our notes now. And number one in our notes, our founding fathers risked everything. They had to create a new nation, the United States of America. Had the American Revolution failed, each of them would have faced execution and the loss of all their property, which would have condemned their wives and children to a life of poverty. Poverty is your blanket number one. I'm talking about Washington, Jefferson, Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Paine, and others. They're the early founders that signed that Declaration of Independence. Number two in your notes, poverty was your answer number one. Number two, it was a remarkable gamble because most of the founding fathers were already wealthy, successful men. So they had a lot to lose. They did not rebel against England for personal enrichment. They rebelled because they honestly believed that the loss of freedom was worse than death. Death is your blanket number two. Number three, there are many freedom quotes on the internet from all kinds of world leaders, philosophers, and theologians. But we firmly believe the freedom quotes from our founding fathers are infinitely more powerful because they succeeded in removing the shackles of tyranny, and all along the way, liberty's lantern was their guiding light. And the very shackles of tyranny that our forefathers shed and got rid of, there are factions in America today that want to reshackle, put those shackles back on America. Somebody say, not going to happen on my watch. Yeah. Amen. Tyranny is your blank in number three. Let's read some of these quotes. You will never know how much it has cost my generation to preserve your freedom. I hope you will make a good use of it. John Adams. Remember, democracy never lasts long. It soon wastes, exhausts, and murders itself. There never was a democracy yet that did not commit suicide. John Adams. The liberties of our country, the freedom of our civil constitution, are worth defending against all hazards, and it is our duty to defend them against all attacks. Samuel Adams. Those people who will not be ruled by God will be ruled by tyrants. William Penn. It is the duty of the patriot to protect his country from its government. Thomas Paine. If the freedom of speech, this is George Washington, listen to this. Listen to this, because this is what's happening in America. This PC culture, this tolerance culture, is the first step in taking away your freedom of speech. If they take our freedom of speech, then they take the freedom to preach the gospel in the pulpits unfettered and without chains. If the freedom of speech is taken away, then dumb and silent, we may be led like sheep to the slaughter. George Washington. The preservation of the sacred fire of liberty and the destiny of the republic model of government are justly considered as deeply, perhaps as finally staked on the experiment entrusted to the hands of the American people. George Washington. Do you know that they call America the great idea or the great experiment? Because up until those pilgrims landed at Plymouth Rock, and they wrote the Mayflower Compact that we'll get into a little bit later tonight, there had never been a government created by man in the history of the world up to that point that wasn't a government that was top down, where the people served a king or a tyrant in order to make the king or the tyrant wealthy and to guard his estate and his money. There never was a government like America, a government that was ran by the people and for the people. It was bottom up. Everybody was created equal. The American dream, everybody had an opportunity to seek the face of God, to have God show them how to get wealth. Amen? But you know, along the way, the pilgrims, and we'll see this later, there was some lazy folks amongst the pilgrims. All right? And that we'll see how William Bradford dealt with that. The last one on this page. Hold on, my friends, to the Constitution. Or no, I missed one. The Constitution is the guide which I will never abandon. George Washington. That's what I love about President Trump. He has him and Mitch McConnell, they have appointed almost 300 judges who are constitutionalists. They are willing to protect the Constitution. They're not activists. Activists are judges who seem to make law. That's not a judge's job to make law. They are to uphold the laws of the Constitution that were already written. Let's read the last one. Well, this is not the last one, but the last one on this page. Hold on, my friends, to the Constitution and to the Republic for which it stands. Miracles do not cluster. And what has happened once in 6,000 years may not happen again. Hold on to the Constitution, because if the American Constitution should fail, there will be anarchy throughout the world. Daniel Webster. We've got a couple more quotes. Democracy is the most vile form of government. Democracies have ever been spectacles of turbulence and contention. We're having a little bit of turbulence and contention today in America, are we not? Turbulence and contention have never been found incompatible with personal security or the rights of property, and have in general been as short in their lives as they have been violent in their deaths. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death. Patrick Henry, y'all know that one. There is a certain enthusiasm in liberty that makes human nature rise above itself in acts of bravery and heroism. Alexander Hamilton. And the last quote we'll read, and then I'm going to ask you a question. This is written by Alexander Fraser Tytler. He says a democracy cannot exist as a permanent form of government. Now pay close attention to this quote. It can only exist until the voters discover that they can vote themselves largus, or gifts, from the public treasury. From that moment on, the majority always votes for the candidates promising the most benefits from the public treasury, with the result that a democracy always collapses over loose fiscal policy, always followed by a dictatorship. The average age of the world's greatest civilization has been 200 years. There, nations have progressed through this sequence, from bondage to spiritual faith, from spiritual faith to great courage, from courage to liberty, from liberty to abundance, from abundance to selfishness, from selfishness to apathy, from apathy to dependence, from dependence back into bondage. So think about that quote by Alexander. Where would you put America tonight in that sequence? Just think about it. Now, we teach the Jewish roots around here, so we're going to define freedom here from the Hebrew perspective. Number four in your notes, Rabbi Yaakov Sinclair, in his essay, The True Meaning of Freedom, says that the archetype of freedom for all mankind is the Exodus from Egypt. The Hebrew word for Egypt is Mitzrayim, which means constriction. Just as Egypt presented the ultimate constriction for God's chosen people, their escape represented ultimate freedom. Freedom from tyranny. Exodus is your blank of four. Number five, that freedom, however, was inextricably linked with responsibility. Responsibility is your blank. Rabbi Sinclair points out that freedom, when discussed in the Torah, is always connected to a clear idea of ultimate purpose. Freedom without purpose, the rabbis say, is slavery. So there was a reason that God delivered them out of slavery in Egypt. We'll see that in a minute. There is a reason that God raised up the wealthiest, most powerful nation in the world built on freedom. There's a purpose and a reason for that. And we'll get to that in the coming weeks. Number six, the holiday of Passover, when the Jewish people were emancipated from slavery in Egypt, is described in Jewish liturgy as Zaman Chayutenu. I knew I was going to have trouble with that. Chayutenu, which means the time of our freedom. The word charut is not the only Hebrew word for freedom. Freedom is your blank. When the Bible refers to freeing slaves, it uses two other words for freedom: chofesh and dror. Freedom's your blank in six. Number seven, the word dror first appears in the Bible when discussing the freedom of slaves in the Jubilee year. Leviticus 25:10. Rashi, he's an ancient rabbi who wrote several commentaries on the Torah. Rashi, based on Rosh Hashanah 9b, that's part of the Talmud, explains that the word dror is related to the word dar, meaning dwells. This refers to the one who dwells within his own domain and does not fall under others' control. Charut is the freedom, number 16. Charut is the freedom the Israelites acquired at Mount Sinai in the form of a covenant. In the Siddur, or the Jewish prayer book, Passover is called Zaman Chayutenu, the time of our freedom. Further, God is praised for taking the Jewish people, Mi Avut Le Charut, from slavery to freedom. The Passover Haggadah means the order of the service for the Passover meal, expresses the wish that the Jewish people would become B'nai Korin, free men. 17. So God wanted Israel to be free. And you all know that the slavery in Egypt is a type and a shadow of slavery to sin, right? God has freed us using the Passover lamb. Is there a problem? Well, I don't have that page, so if somebody wants to give me one, I'll hit them high. Sorry about that. I wonder why I didn't have one. My printer was acting up today. Okay, I'll go back to number 8. Thank you for catching that. Number 8. Back to the word drawer. Drawer is also a type of bird whose very essence expresses this notion. Ibn Ezra explains that the drawer bird happily sings when free to its own devices. But if captured and stuck in man's domain, it refuses to eat until it dies. This bird is suicidal when it loses its freedom. The drawer bird is called so because it builds nests inside people's homes without fear of being captured, as if it were completely free from the possibility of capture. Drawer denotes being free as a bird. Number 9, the Torah calls for pure myrrh to be used in the anointing oil. Exodus 30:23. The word drawer is used for pure. This is because the Torah is your blank in 9. The Torah requires they use myrrh that is free from outside impurities and forgeries. So if I didn't tell you, your blank in number 8 was suicidal. Your blank in 9 is Torah. Number 10, the word kofesh also appears in the Bible in the context of freeing slaves, most notably in Exodus 21, Deuteronomy 15, and Jeremiah 34. Kofesh is, in modern Hebrew, means vacation. Kofesh refers to freedom from an obligation to work, while drawer refers to the freedom from subjugation to a specific person who lords over him. The word kerut does not appear in the Bible in the context of freedom. Nonetheless, it is the standard word for freeing a slave in rabbinical teaching. Number 11. So your blank is obligation in number 10. Number 11. Although the Bible itself uses the word kerut in the context of freedom, rabbinical tradition finds a scriptural allusion to such a meaning in Perkei Avot 6:2. Perkei Avot is also called the Wisdom of the Fathers. It's another Jewish commentary. That's the best way for me to describe it. And you know that on the Jewish level, they say there's 4 different interpretations in the Bible. One is a remez, something that alludes to something else in the Bible. So the rabbis believe this is making an allusion, okay, to something else. All right, the Bible describes the tablets. They believe it's alluding to the tablets of Moses. The Bible describes the tablets that Moshe brought from Mount Sinai as the work of God engraved, karut, on the tablets. The rabbis found a deeper meaning in this verse. Do not read it as not karut, engraved, but as kerut, freedom. For the only person who is free is one who occupies himself with Torah study. Remember, freedom comes with responsibility, right? And God set the children of Israel free, and he gave them what they needed to stay free, his Torah, his teaching. And as long as they lived according to God's word, they lived free. Amen? All right, let me keep going. The moment they were disobedient through history, their freedom was always challenged. We're at 12. It seems fairly clear that the ultimate purpose of the Exodus was to give the Jewish people the Torah at Mount Sinai, then the word for freedom resulting from the Exodus should appropriately be Kerut, and the holiday which celebrates that freedom should be termed Zaman Kertinu, the time of our freedom. That holiday that celebrates that is Passover. Number 13, Rabbi Jonathan Sacks offers a deep understanding as to the difference between Kofesh and Kerut. He explains that the adjective Kofshi is related to Hafetz, desire, and Hapez, search out. Rabbi Sacks identifies this type of freedom with negative liberty because it simply denotes the lack of coercion. In other words, a desire or your ability to search out, you just do that on your own. Nobody's coercing you, okay? 14, negative liberty may be worthwhile on an individual level, but on a society level, there must be some form of rules. Look at what's happening in some of these big cities around America. People are just think they're free to burn, to loot, to destroy, to attack police. Okay? That's a negative liberty. All right? 14, negative liberty may be worthwhile to an individual level, but on a society level, there must be some form of rules. One cannot simply do whatever one pleases. On the other hand, law and order must not be imposed is your blank, in a coercive manner, because then the masses will resent and resist said law. Instead, the law must be presented and taught in a way in which everyone willingly accepts of their own volition. Amen? At Sinai, they were free to choose. Right? And freedom, let me back up a second. Freedom was God's idea. He created man in the garden, and he was free to choose. Right? And he made a bad choice. And he got placed outside the garden. Amen? But thank God for the Passover lamb, Jesus. He's restored us back to his presence. Amen? Are we at 15? When this happens, the law becomes a part of them, ingrained in their very essence, for the greater good. To that effect, the rabbis coined a new term, kerut, which denotes a sort of freedom that comes to society where people not only know the law, but study it constantly until it is engraved on their hearts. So karut and kerut become one. What is it God says a couple times in the Bible? He says, I'll write my laws on the tablets of your heart. I will be your God, you will be my people. In our society, we know it's not right to burn down somebody's business. You know, we know it's not right to loot. Even to this day, if I get stopped by the police, both hands are on the wheel. I don't care how young that man is. It's yes, sir, no, sir. Okay? Because I need to respect his office. Right? So, I just better stop right there and keep going. Okay? Right now in America, there is no respect for law and order. And one of our founding fathers said that our Constitution was only made for a moral people. Amen? And that's why God founded America on the Word of God and on the rule of law. And if the rule of law is not returned to this nation, we will cease to exist as the United States of America that we all grew up in. I don't worry about myself so much because I'm on the back nine, you know, of life. But I am concerned for my grandchildren and their children. All right, number 16. I know we covered it, but just in case you missed it. Kerut is the freedom the Israelites acquired at Mount Sinai in the form of a covenant. Covenant is your blanket 16. In the Siddur or the Jewish prayer book, Passover is called Zaman Kerutenu. The time of our freedom. That's what it means. Further, God is praised for taking the Jewish people, mi'avut le'kerut, from slavery to freedom. The Passover Haggadah, the order of the service, expresses the wish that Jewish people will become B'nai Korin, free men. 17. So your blank in 16 is covenant. 17. God's message to Pharaoh was clearly one of Kerut. Let my people go that they might worship me. Exodus 9:11. So God had a purpose for their freedom. Amen. They were to worship him. He did not desire that his people simply transfer their slavish obedience from Pharaoh to him. Service to God would be much different than service to the Egyptian king. Deliverance from slavery in Egypt meant the opportunity to choose to be in covenant with the Melech HaOlam, the king of the universe. Kerut would allow the Israelites to freely bind themselves to God and his commandments. Here, they would find Rabbi Sinclair's freedom with purpose. Amen. Our freedom in America comes with purpose and destiny. I don't want to get too far into that because that's where we're going to leap off next week. But I'm going to tell you something. As America goes, so goes the world. And there's not a nation in this world that has not experienced the benevolence of America. Others have received the protection of America. And there are many today that still depend on the might of America for their freedom. Amen. All right, let me keep going. Anybody know where we left off? 19? We're at 20? Oh, 17? Yeah, okay, we left off 17. You're right. What happens, we're at 18 now. What happens when men have too much freedom? The question is answered through the story of Noah, who the rabbis say invented the plow. How about that? He invented the plow. That sounds like a good thing, right? To invent the plow. I remember riding my Uncle Oscar's mule when he was plowing the fields. And there's a message in that, but we won't get into it now. So plow's your blank. For the first time, people did not have to work so hard to produce their food. And in their inability to use their newfound freedom and productivity, they became corrupt and depraved. And we don't know if that's true or not, but that is Jewish legend or Jewish wisdom. All right. Number 19, many would say that we are again living in the days such as those of Noah, filled with immorality and wickedness. It is perhaps no accident is your blank in 19, that many today are focused on the pursuit of Kofesh, while the concept of Kerut fades from view. As people of faith, may we become a beacon of real freedom, freely bound to God and his commandments, glorifying him through our joyful, willing obedience. America's Constitution was written for a moral people. So remember, Kofesh is like, I'm free to do whatever I want to do. You know? How many know if you're a prisoner in prison and they let you out, now you're free, but if you have the attitude, I can go do what I want to do, guess what? You're going to end up back in there. Okay? All right? It's only when you get out and you give your heart to Jesus and you start living according to this world can God continue to bless you with freedom. 20, the late Miles Monroe of blessed memory defined purpose as the reason for a thing. So what is the reason in the mind of the Creator for the founding and building of the world's greatest economic and military power ever known? Military is your blank in 20. And a people who cherish individual freedom and liberty more than life itself, the United States of America. In this 12-week course, we hope to answer this question as well as see the divine connection between America and the nation of Israel and the coming of our Messiah. When freedom was only a dream. Freedom and liberty, number 21. Freedom and liberty, as well as Christianity, is under attack on every continent, including our own. I think it is vitally important that we look back and remember the forefathers of our freedom, who came to New England almost 400 years ago. Do we really know their story and how they birthed liberty in an age of plague, tyranny, and Christian persecution? What goes around comes around. See, seems like we're come full circle. So I guess we have a decision to make. Amen. Hallelujah. 22. We tend to think of our time as the crisis of the ages. In other words, yeah, it's so bad here, right? We're going to see how really what really bad means here when we look at why the pilgrims left England. All right. We tend to think of our time as the crisis of the ages. C.S. Lewis called this kind of thinking self-centered thinking and chronological snobbery. You know, every generation that had a major war thought this is it. Jesus is coming back. From the Civil War to all the wars in between the Civil War and you know, the Korean War. They thought, this is it. Jesus is coming back. But he hasn't come yet, has he? I think we have some work to do, church. The time of the pilgrims, I'm halfway into 22. The time of the pilgrims was even more desperate than that of America today. Freedom was only a dream in the world when a small underground church began to meet in Scrooby, England in 1604. So your blank is dream in number 22. 23, when this small underground church began, England was in the midst of a pandemic. Sound familiar? An explosion of the bubonic plague. Over 20,000 died in the streets of London. London is your blank. Streets of London that year alone. Also at that time, the 30 Years' War was ravaging Europe, killing over 5 million people in Germany alone. I urge you to go search out the 30-Year War. You'll find Christians and or Protestants and Catholics doing battle. You'll find popes against popes. It was an awful time in our history, a dark history for Christian people. 24. Southern Europe had been dominated for decades by a religious zealot, King Philip II of Spain. Using the newfound treasures of the New World, Philip brought the Spanish Empire to bankruptcy in a 45-year attempt to exterminate serious Christian believers throughout Europe. 25. In Holland alone, King Philip killed over 300,000 people, wiping out entire cities in a day. In England, the tension between King James I and the liberty-loving Christians was building toward a devastating civil war as King James I tortured, killed, or exiled all who disagreed with him. And we will see some of that history in the coming days, because we will deal with destiny next week, but then we'll get into Patrick of Ireland and King Alfred the Great of England and on into Stephen Langton. You know, Langton was along the time of Robin Hood, remember? And we'll just see how God's hand was moving, preparing this people to come to America. Amen? All right. I'll do 25 again in case I missed it. In Holland alone, King Philip killed over 300,000 people, wiping out entire cities in a day. In England, the tension between King James I and liberty-loving Christians was building toward a devastating civil war as King James I tortured, killed, or exiled all who disagreed with him. See, they didn't have the freedom of worship. So you're going to see that our founding fathers, when they talk about separation of state and church, they're not talking about not having God in our government. They're talking about not having a state-run church where the government rules the church. What we're doing today is the furthest thing from their mind. Okay? They wanted God in our government. Matter of fact, our government's built on, our rule of law is built on the word of God, the commands of God. So what we have today is not even close to what our founding fathers wanted when they wanted separation of church and state. The liberal left has hijacked it. Okay? All right, let me keep going. I said liberal left. Yeah, I'm going to get in trouble for that. 26. In this age of tyranny, The most successful freedom revolution in history was birthed. A small group of English Christians, later called pilgrims, faced death or imprisonment under King James I. They finally escaped to Holland in 1609, the only place they could go where there was a degree of religious freedom. In Leyden, Holland, they learned the biblical principles of religious, economic, and civil liberty from John Robinson, their pastor and former dean of Cambridge University. Pilgrims is your blank in number 26. 25 was tension, and 24 was bankruptcy. 27. For a decade, they endured horrific trials of poverty and exile. After much study and prayer, they decided to sail to the wilderness of America, knowing that they faced almost certain death. As a general on the battlefield, Pastor Robinson sent out the core of his church as pioneers. The scent of gunpowder was hanging in the air when he gave his final charge. He said, "Thus this holy army of saints is marshaled here on earth by these officers under the conduct of their glorious emperor, Christ. Peaceable in itself as Jerusalem, terrible to the enemy as an army with banners, triumphing over their tyranny with patience, their cruelty with meekness, and over death itself with dying. Thus, through the blood of that spotless lamb and the word of their testimony, they are more than conquerors, bruising the head of the serpent. Yea, through the power of his word, they have power to cast down strongholds and everything that exalts itself against God. The gates of hell and all the principles and powers on the earth shall not prevail against it." Man, that'll pump you up, won't it? Make us charge Washington. 28, the deeply felt optimism of this letter is incredible. It is almost as though Pastor Robinson knew that the voyage of his people that summer of 1620 would initiate a peaceful resolution following the selfless strategy of their Savior, which would free more people, both spiritually and physically, than any army in history. Savior is your blank. 29, after a 66-day perilous voyage, the Mayflower sailed into Cape Cod, 500 miles north of their intended destination. Now that they were outside the King's Charter, they needed to form their own government. On November 11, 1620, 46 men gathered in the captain's cabin and signed the Mayflower Compact. This was a government of the people, unique in all of history. 30. Moving right along. It begins in the name of God, amen. It placed in the hands of the people the right to create laws and constitutions under God's direction. This document became a basis for more than 80 colonial constitutions, agreements, and covenants, out of which was crafted America's Declaration of Independence and the United States Constitution. You know, our colonies, our individual colonies, before they became states, they wrote their own laws and their own constitutions. And it was from all of those constitutions that they wrote that, and the Mayflower Compact, that the Declaration of Independence and our Constitution was born. Document is your blank in 30. 31, after 18 days scouring the Cape for water, they found a little harbor, a spring-fed stream, and land that had been cleared of the overwhelming forest. It was here that the Pawtuxet Indians had died in a great plague. Plague is your blank. Several years before the pilgrims arrived and the bay was abandoned. 32. After coming ashore in the middle of a harsh winter, over half of the pilgrims had died by March 1621. Most of the women died while protecting is your blank, while protecting their children from the elements. They buried 46 settlers in a common grave to disguise their weakness. They don't want to have a bunch of different graves where the enemies could see, oh man, you've lost a bunch of people. You know. So they buried them in a common grave to disguise their weakness. Their problems were compounded by the communal farming that had been forced on them by the merchants who had funded their voyage, resulting in 2 years of near starvation. What was that communal farming? It was communism. It was socialism. I'm telling you, the pilgrims dealt with it in the 1620s. And here it is, it's raised its ugly head again in America. In the summer of 1623, this failed experiment in socialism was abandoned. Governor William Bradford gave each family a plot of ground on which to plant their own crops. Under this biblical structure of free enterprise, we call it capitalism today, a free enterprise, each family worked their own land, resulting in an explosion of productivity. Corn began to rise in the fields. Free is your blank in number 33. 32 is farming. 34, no rain fell in the months of July and August to water the crops, and the settlers faced starvation. Remembering that they had forgotten to thank God, they declared a day of fasting, repentance, and prayer for God's deliverance. A gentle rain began that afternoon and lasted for 3 days, restoring their crops and saving their lives. So our founding fathers, at times of difficulty, fasted and prayed. I think, and they repented also. I think that's a formula that still works today. Number 35. Fasting is your blank in 34. After this miracle, Governor Bradford declared a day of thanksgiving to God for his rain and provision. This story is the heart of our national holiday, Thanksgiving. Americans seem to love Thanksgiving more than any other holiday because deep within our psyche, Americans know that the God who is acknowledged on our coins, who is exalted in our national motto, "In God We Trust," and to whom the founders dedicated the Declaration of Independence, is the God who has blessed us with freedom and prosperity. Exalted is your blank there. Let's finish the pilgrim story. We're going to go back a little bit before King James now. 36 in your notes. William Bradford penned the true history of the pilgrims who came to New England in 1620. His handwritten history of the Plymouth Plantation was thought to have been destroyed in the American Revolution. However, a copy was found many years later in a London library and returned to Massachusetts. Senator George Hoar spoke that day saying that the Bradford history is the most precious manuscript on earth since the story of Bethlehem. There's a miracle right there, you know, that we have that history that William Bradford wrote down or penned. Amen. 37. In the late 16th century, under the reign of Queen Elizabeth, a quiet revolution was taking root in the minds and hearts of people of England. For the first time in history, everyday people were reading and studying the scriptures in their own language. How they got those Bibles is a story for another time. But let's just say that with the inventing of the printing press, that helped. Bibles were open on shop counters, in the marketplace, and in homes. Groups gathered in countless cottages to listen to the reading from the newly translated and available sacred text. 38. The people began to question the arbitrary laws of the kings, queens, and prelates. Prelates are high-ranking bishops who enforced their self-serving religion on them at the point of the sword. The newly awakened citizens wanted England to return to the freedoms and rights of the people as revealed in Scripture. See, that longing that's in our heart for freedom causes men and women to rise up against tyrants. The most intellectually, number 39, religion is your blank in 38. 39, the most intellectually equipped place in England was Cambridge University, where two of the future leaders of the pilgrims were a part of this new brain thrust concerning freedom in the scriptures. John Robinson, who became the scholarly mentor and pastor of the pilgrims, excelled at Cambridge. After 11 years, Robinson became the dean of Corpus Christi College. Future is your blank in 39. 40, William Brewster, after studying at Cambridge, accepted a position as assistant to the secretary of Queen Elizabeth. Brewster later would be sent to Holland as a royal emissary. and while there was given the keys to the city of Laden. Royal is your blank. 41, soon after a scandal broke out concerning the queen's beheading of her cousin, Brewster's superior, Elizabeth's secretary, was falsely accused and thrown in the dungeon. Falsely is your blank in 41. Brewster, realizing the corruption in the court, man, there was corruption in the government. Imagine that. Left to return to his home in Scrooby, England. He became the chief magistrate and overseer of the 40-room manor house and inn along the Old North Road, midway between Scotland and London. 42, Queen Elizabeth was shrewd and disciplined with a deep sense of duty to England, but she soon fell in lockstep with the other 16th century royal tyrants of Europe that initiated a campaign to annihilate, exile, or silence all the people who disagreed with them on religious matters. That's what a state-run church looks like. That's what the founding fathers did not want to have. Disagreed is your blank of 42. Millions of innocents were slaughtered as these tyrannical leaders attempted to stamp out faithful believers who were following the teaching of Scripture. 43, Elizabeth forced a severe law through Parliament in 1582, proclaiming it treason to worship anywhere but in the Queen's Church of England. The penalty was death. Death is your blank. She sent her archbishop to Cambridge, demanding that all students and professors be silenced on matters of religion and freedom of expression. She arrogantly declared that such thinking by the students was a tender matter and dangerous to weak, ignorant minds. My. That's why the church for centuries, there was no reading of Scripture by the common man. You just had to receive the Scripture from the bishop or the pope. They're the only ones that were enlightened enough to receive the Word of God. Death is your blank of 43. 44, Robinson and Brewster, as young students, observed in horror as leaders of the freedom movement at Cambridge began to be thrown in dungeons to die or were hung or drawn and quartered. And you know, they hook you up to horses, tie your legs to horses, and then they cut you open and quarter you. That's drawn and quartered. That's ugly. Where did I leave that off at? 44. Well, let me finish that. Robinson and Brewster, 44. Robinson and Brewster, as young students, observed in horror as leaders of the freedom movement in Cambridge began to be thrown in dungeons to die, were hung or drawn and quartered. Both men came to believe that they and their families must stand on biblical principles no matter the cost. No matter the cost. America, you don't vote for the politician that promises you the most. You vote for the one that lines up with your moral conscience. How could a Christian vote for somebody who's pro-abortion or somebody who does not care if the baby comes full term and they can kill it afterwards? I can't vote for that person because my Bible says thou shalt not murder. I cannot vote for someone who's pro-same-sex marriage because it's contrary to the Word of God. America, you must vote your moral conscience. I believe you vote for somebody who's pro-abortion, you'll answer for that vote. And you will have the blood of those innocent children on your hands. All right, moving right along. Now that I've scolded you good. 45, Brewster opened his manor house to Robinson's family and to others who were suffering persecution. William Bradford, a young man who had been orphaned, joined the Bible studies at the Brewster home. Bradford would be mentored for the next 35 years by William Brewster. He became a gifted scholar, the historian of the Pilgrim Saga, and their governor in the New World for 30 years. 46. You know, I was going to take a break, but I think we're moving at such a clip we can probably get done in the next 10, 20 minutes. 46. In 1603, Queen Elizabeth died without an heir, leaving James I to claim the throne. Sadly, for the people of England, King James was more tyrannical than Elizabeth, especially in religious matters. James declared that he had a divine right to rule and claimed to be as God on earth. Wow. We've seen some arrogance in some of our lawmakers. Some of our government officials, have we not? 47. Those involved in Brewster's home Bible studies agreed to form a church following the New Testament model, shaking off this yoke of anti-Christian bondage, and as the Lord's free people, they joined themselves by a covenant into a church estate in the fellowship of the gospel to walk in all his ways, whatever it should cost them, the Lord assisting them. Yoke is your blank. I just wonder, do we have the intestinal fortitude and the trust in God that we could do what they did? They stood up to the queen. They stood up to the king at the risk of death, at the risk of a cruel, painful death. 48, yoke is your blank of 47. 48, daily the persecutions initiated by the king increased as dozens of the pilgrim's friends had been arrested and were starving in damp prisons. The king's spies were now closing in on the Scrooby congregation. The congregation knew they must flee. They sold their homes and possessions and secretly made their way several days through the woods, eventually hiring a Dutch sea captain who would take them to Holland. But the captain betrayed them and alerted the soldiers when they arrived. The authorities stole their goods and searched them for money and valuables, even taking their clothing and innermost garments, forcing the women beyond the bonds or the bounds of modesty. In other words, they were half naked. 50. These innocent believers were paraded through the streets as common criminals. The leaders were imprisoned indefinitely. The women and children were left homeless, without food or shelter. After months imprisoned, the men were released. Knowing this reprieve was only temporary, the church immediately planned another escape for 1608. So your blank is homeless in 50. After hiring another Dutch sea captain, they were betrayed again. Yes, the soldiers surrounded and captured the terrified women and children who were in small boats. The pilgrim men were already on the ship and were forced by the captain at gunpoint to sail into the North Sea. So there they are, the men are on the ship. The women are being surrounded by the king's soldiers, and the men have to sail off without them. That would have been horrible. But, you know, that might have helped make them tough. That's why they survived. Gunpoint is your blank of 51. 52, after miraculously surviving a gigantic hurricane that sank several hundred ships, the ship with the pilgrim men aboard rose as if it were from the grave. Grave is your blank. After another year, the English authorities, tiring of the pilgrim women and children, sent them over to Holland. The families were united with great celebration in Holland, the only place on earth that allowed religious freedom at that time. Settling in the city of Leyden, they began reasoning through the Bible. Grave is your blank in 52. They began reasoning through the Bible in search of wisdom for every area of life. This was made possible. Now watch this. This is amazing. This was made possible because for the first time in the history of Western civilization, the original Hebrew manuscripts of the Bible, especially of the Torah, were being studied by Dutch scholars like Hugo Gordius and Peter Kunis. Kunis, I think is the way you say it, Kunis' book, The Hebrew Republic, was published in 1617. While he was a professor at the university. At that very moment, John Robinson was a scholar at the university as well. It is certainly no coincidence that the successful biblical strategy of the self-governing Hebrew Republic, which was being modeled in Holland, was mirrored by the Pilgrims to create the world's most successful model republic, the United States of America. Biblical is your blank. I find it amazing that after all they went through, they wind up in Holland, and Holland has a couple scholars that are studying the Hebrew text. And when Bradford and Brewster got to America, it is said of them that they carried a vocabulary list of Hebrew words and its meaning in their Bible. They were Hebraists. What that means is they searched the Hebrew scriptures for truth. Amen. And that was back in the early 1600s. And since the early 90s, that's actually before that, since the 60s, we've had a movement here in Christianity and in America of going back and studying the Hebrew Bible and the Hebrew language. I think that's amazing. Amen. God certainly is cyclical. He does things in cycles. So here we are again. Amen. But are we as tough as the Pilgrims to persevere and fight for our freedom? 55. Most of the Pilgrims, though free to worship, were thrown into poverty. They were not members of the Dutch unions and so could not take any good job. They and their children had to take any job available to survive. They took comfort in having Pastor Robinson teach them almost daily the Bible and God's principles of freedom and constitutional limited government modeled after the ancient Hebrews. Survive is your blank in 55. Well, I got to stretch. 56. William Brewster and his Scottish friend Thomas Brewer began the Pilgrim Press, a publishing company. They printed great books that were banned in England and Scotland so the people could learn the liberating power of Scripture. They published many books and smuggled them into England. Banned is your blank there in 56. 57. King James sent his spies to Holland, who ruthlessly tracked down the Pilgrims, especially Brewster. In 1619, the king's troops broke into Brewster's home and printing press. He and his family barely escaped. The press was destroyed. Destroyed is your blank. Thomas Brewer was arrested and sent back to England, where he lingered for 14 years in a dungeon. He died soon after his release. Destroyed is your blank. 58. William Brewster was able to make his way to England, avoiding capture, traveling from place to place, one step ahead of the king's troops. The next year, he was able to hide on board the Mayflower and join the vanguard of Pilgrims who sailed to America. Mayflower is your blank in 58. 59, by 1619, the Pilgrims faced annihilation once again. The Dutch and Spanish were about to go to war again. All religious dissenters would likely be killed, especially groups like the English exiles. The leaders gathered and decided that they should find a place to colonize where they can be free to practice their faith and teach their children. At that very moment, the undeveloped continent of America opened before them. So your first blank in 59 is religious. Your second blank in 59 is practice. Religious and practice. 60. We're headed down the home stretch now, gang. 60. Edwin Sandys, a member of Parliament and a friend of King James, was able to convince the king that it would be wise to give the Pilgrims a charter to settle in the New World. Little did the king know that his charter, given to his avowed enemies, the Pilgrims, would ultimately result in the triumph of liberty over tyrants like himself. He gave them a charter telling them they would still be servants of the king. Okay? Still be under the king's rule. So little did the king, so he let them go, basically. Little did he know by letting them go, they would set the stage for freedom all across the world. Amen. Freedom from tyrants like King James. So I don't know if you got a blank there in 60. Charter and triumph. But in this one, I forgot to take them out. 61. All those who chose to go knew that their decision would likely result in their deaths. Several settlements had been attempted, but only the Jamestown colony had succeeded in 1607. The Pilgrim response was to declare, though they should lose their lives in this action, yet might they have the comfort of knowing that their endeavor was worthy. Colony is your blank there in 61. After a 66-day voyage, the little ship took refuge at the tip of Cape Cod. On November 11, all the men on board signed a new plan of government. Government is your blank in 62. Because they were outside the king's charter, it was called the Mayflower Compact. Here in the wilderness, a self-governing republic under God was created. It was founded upon biblical concepts, including equal rights, private property, and the election of godly leaders. The world would never be the same. Government and election are your two blanks. Government and election. 63. The first winter was horrific. At one time, only six people could walk, nursing the rest, who lay deathly ill and freezing cold. By March, nearly half of them had died. But despite their grief, they remained strong in faith and charity. A plague broke out among the sailors on the Mayflower, which had stayed through the winter to help the pilgrims. Faith and charity are your two blanks there in 63. I find it amazing that, and you'll see this in a minute, amazing that in their despair and their difficulty, they still showed the love of Christ. Go to your next one, you'll understand it. The women, 64, the women, most of whom died themselves, cared for the sailors to their peril. One dying sailor said, "We let each other lie and die like dogs, but you care for one another like true Christians." You know, when we're going through difficulty, the last thing we seem to want to do is show somebody charity or love. And I guarantee you, we've never had it as bad as the pilgrims did. But they still maintain those biblical principles to live by. 65. Amazingly, a Native American who had been captured and taken to Europe, where he had learned English, walked into their camp in the spring of 1621. His name was Tisquantum, or Squanto, as the pilgrims called him. He brought the chief of the Wampanoag tribe, King Massasoit. We've heard these names, haven't we? We heard these in grade school. To meet the pilgrims, they concluded a treaty of peace based on equal rights and justice between their people. A treaty of peace. Wait a minute. These people aren't the same color. Oh, but they still had peace. See, it is possible that people of color and people white like us can have peace. Well, not all of us. Amen. Right? I better move on. Amazingly, a Native American... Oh, I read that one. Peace is a blank in 65. 66. In the spring of 1623, newly elected governor William Bradford immediately abandoned the failed socialist system and assigned each family their own plot of land to farm themselves. Bradford says, so every family was assigned a parcel of land. This was very successful. It made all hands very industrious. The lazy could no longer live off the labor of their diligent neighbors. Socialist is your first blank. Lazy is your second blank. Let me explain socialism and communism to you real briefly. You work, I eat. That might have been what was going on. It might have been the problem here in the early days of the pilgrims. But what's going on in America today is very much a Marxist. All the looting, the vandalism, the assaulting of police, the murdering of people, these are all Marxist tactics. This is what Vladimir Lenin did over in Russia. He had a goon squad. They were violent. They even robbed banks. And he was able to overthrow the Russian government. And this is exactly what's going on in America. These are Marxist tactics that we see in our streets today. Amen. 67, let's finish up. Bradford then exposes the philosophy of socialism through the ages. Now, get ready for this. This is a quote. "The failure of this experiment of communal service proves the emptiness of the theory of Plato and other agents that the taking away of private property and the possession of it in community would make a state happy and flourishing, as if they were wiser than God. Bradford calls the plan that had been imposed on them a communistic plan of life. This was centuries before Karl Marx initiated the modern communist movement. Socialism is your blank." I tell you, folks, the devil's got nothing new. He's just rehashing everything old. He repackages it. But if you tear off the wrapper, it's the same tricks. He wants to enslave God's people. Amen. 68. "Sadly today, America's enemies are globalism, communism, and radical Islam. All three are found in our local, state, and federal government. The one thing all three have in common is they hate President Trump. All three have unified not to save America, but to save the globalist system that was created in the aftermath of World War II. World War II is your blank. Anchored in such institutions as the United Nations and the World Bank, both globalist institutions, not at all incidentally, were shepherded into existence by two key Soviet agents covertly embedded inside the U.S. government. Their names were Alger Hiss and Harry Dexter White." You had communists that had infiltrated our government. 69, "From the day of President Trump's election, these enemies in our federal government has attempted a coup to overturn a lawful elected president because he represents the first serious counter movement to reestablish the building blocks of the nation, state, the nation state, and put the globalist system in peril. We are enduring a phase of American politics as far away from usual as a Bolshevik plot. It is the nationalist versus a globalist." Let me tell you what President Trump has done. You may not have noticed this. President Trump is all about making America great again. He understands that America, in order to be great, we must remain free. We must have the freedom of worship. I believe President Trump is trying to get this nation, and I don't know how religious he is, but I guarantee you, I guarantee you by now he's become a praying man if he wasn't when he went into office. Amen. Nobody's faced what that man has faced. But what, to make America great again, we must go back to that foundation of the early pilgrims, the first Americans here. Amen. And they had a free nation. Amen. And we have to stay free. And we have to get back to that biblical foundation. Let's pray and we'll let you go. Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you. We just ask, Lord God, your blessing be upon these people. May these words fall into hearts, Lord God, and produce fruit in their lives. Give us, Lord God, back our nation. Bring our nation to the place of repentance in order that you might restore us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God.